Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Throughout the Gospels, Christ says many statements. I know that's a very general thing to say, but it's very true. He says many things to many people about many things. And it's one thing to listen to what our Lord has to say, yet it's another thing to be challenged by Him and to be questioned by Him. It's one thing to sit in a lecture hall and take notes about what your professor is saying. It's another thing for Him to call on you and say, "And what do you think?" And then you have to respond. It's another thing for your teacher to hand you the chalk, or I guess the wand for the whiteboard, and she says, "Go work out the problem in front of the class." Then you're on the hook. Then you have to show what is inside and to make sure that you're prepared. And today we have that kind of dynamic swirling around us in the saint in which we commemorate and also the gospel readings that we heard this morning. In this morning's Eothinon gospel, the resurrection gospel of the matins, our Lord questioned those who did not believe He had resurrected, His own disciples. And He asked them, "Why do you have trouble in your heart? Why are you anxious about what you see?" And then in today's gospel reading that we heard, our Lord asked the Pharisees, He asked the scribes and all those who were angry at Him allowing the sins to be forgiven of the paralytic. And He chastised them again with a question when He asked them, "Why do you have evil in your hearts?" So again, it's very different hearing what God has to say and then having to answer for what He has to ask. Today we celebrate one of the most beautiful saints of the church that we don't know about in great detail for the most part, but we certainly hear His name quite often and in the most beautiful of circumstances. There was a young man born in the area of Caesarea in Palestine by the name of Nehemias. Nehemias was born of a faithful Christian father, but of a pagan mother. That's a little bit different than what we usually hear, isn't it? It's usually the other way around, this evil dad and a pious mom who protects the child. Today is quite the opposite. For Nehemias' father died when he was young, and so getting rid of that Christian nonsense in her home, his mother raised him to be a devout follower of pagan idols. So much so that as she introduced him, because they were a family of nobility, to the Emperor Diocletian, he took a great interest in him. He loved the beauty of his face. He loved his command. He loved the way he was able to articulate himself. And this young man rose to become the commander of the Roman army in the Egyptian city of Alexandria. And as he was given that assignment by the emperor himself, he was sent with one specific task, and that was to eradicate the Christian presence in the city of Alexandria. And along the road from Palestine to Alexandria, God spoke to Nehemias, and He asked him a question, much like He asked of His disciples and of the scribes and of the Pharisees. He asked him, "Where are you going? And to whom are you rising against?" This was a life-altering opportunity for this man. And much like St. Paul, and as the hymns of the Orthros bridging together this experience with the road to Damascus that Paul experienced, this young man went to Alexandria. But he didn't persecute anyone. He had a change of heart on that road. And it was his mother, his own mother, that reported him to the authorities that he wasn't doing what he was commanded to do. So he was thrown in prison and was I guess we can say the receiver of many creative tortures. And this is when our Lord visited Nehemias in his prison cell. And much like when the Lord and Panagia came to St. Nicholas in his prison cell and restoring to him the rank of his episcopal ministry, the Lord came to Nehemias. And as the angels of the church tell us, he baptized him. The Lord himself baptizing this man, giving him the name Procopius in his cell. Procopius means prosperous. And he knew that he would have a prosperous life in him, given this name by the Lord himself. And receiving this amazing strength, all who were brought into the prison were nurtured by and were preached to by St. Procopius. There was one particular day where the tortures were very intense upon him. And they thought they had broken him. So they let him out of prison in chains. And they had him fall before the idols. Yet before he would bow to them, it was the idols who toppled over. This was a great witness for many people. In particularly, 10 women that were there witnessing what had taken place. Also his mother, at long last, after causing much damage to this young man in his life, and with all of her efforts to pull him away from a relationship with the Lord, she, as well as those 10 other maidens, professed faith in Christ on that day. So they're all thrown back into prison. And as Procopius ministers to those maidens, he shows them what it means to receive a crown of glory, to receive the joy of martyrdom, and to prepare what he certainly knew was to be their fate. And eventually those women, together with his mother, were martyred for the sake of Christ and the gospel and our resurrected Lord. St. Procopius eventually himself was martyred as well. If his name sounds familiar to you, again, his new name that was given to him by Christ, it's because we hear him mentioned at the end of every Orthodox wedding service. And perhaps you've wondered, who's St. Procopius? Is he the patron saint of married people? We know who Saints Constantine and Helen are. But we wonder about this man. Now, we just discussed his life story, not in great detail, admittedly, but I think we understand well enough to know that there's no mention of him being married. There's no mention of him receiving in this world a bride and establishing a household and beginning a family and walking along that path which the Lord could direct for him. But the reason he is mentioned in such a sacred and such a beautiful place is because of his ministry to those women and his teaching upon what it means to be crowned by their bridegroom. What it means to receive glory, not only in this world, but glory and comfort in the next. To be crowned by God, not by any man. And to have a sacrificial heart. And to understand that even danger and negativity and sorrow may be in front of you. If it is the Lord that is calling you home and He's guiding you and strengthening you in all of these endeavors, not only will you be okay, but you're in the right and you're on the path and you're in the light. St. Procopius is a man, again, whose name means to be prosperous. Prosperous before God. Prosperous before all of the faithful. Prosperous for the church. Prosperous for the sake of the gospel and its saving message of Christ resurrected, who will speak to you on the roadside and who will change the course of your life and who will alter the patterns and the directions in which you are going if they are away from Him. So may we give thanks to a God who asks the questions, not in order to put us on the spot or to challenge us per se in any way of negativity, but to challenge and to strengthen us so that we can also be prosperous before Him. Amen.